Okay, so now we come to really the absolute heart of the sugya, which is what exactly midin asay, midin lo asay, what can be demanded of us with respect to lo samrul damriyacha, mahashivosolo, how far can we be pushed? And in particular, as you've seen, you know, what are the responsibilities of an individual in terms of incurring risk to himself? Everything in life requires, you know, risk. Stepping out of our house in the morning is a risk. Getting on the roads is a kind of a risk. Risk is endemic to life. Staying in bed all day has a different set of risks associated with it. But clearly here, we're talking about things that are outside of the normal, you know, routine. There's a Toveya Benohar, there's a Chaya Gorarto, there's Listin Boinolov, right? There's a Sakanas Maves. And the question is, what can, you know, Yossi Sherman or Eitan Barinholtz be required to do in that situation, you know, Ba'ad Chavero? In other words, Chayev L'Hachlis Esatzmo B'Safik Sakana K'dei L'Hatzil Es Chavero. The poles of the sugya, I think, are pretty well defined. I don't think anybody would, you know, entertain, even before we've gone through Be'arichus Uve'amkus, the sugya of Yehari Gval Yavor, nobody would say that you're, you know, mechuyav to commit suicide. Presumably you're prohibited from so doing. Though Hatzal HaSarabim is an interesting question. Haruge Lod, as referred to, as, you know, taking one quite literally for the team. That, we would all agree, is a bridge too far. I think we'd all agree also that on the other end of the spectrum, incurring, you know, absolutely minimal risk, you know, a person could say, well, if I go into the pool, I'll get wet and I could get hypothermia. That might be a real risk if it was, you know, minus 30 degrees, but if it's 70 and sunny, you know, that seems to be completely unacceptable. But there's a real chasm between the two scenarios that I described of certain death versus, you know, completely no danger whatsoever. And we're going to spend, you know, the rest of the sugya really, really trying to pin down, you know, this issue. And sometimes, I just want to give you guys a little bit of a hint of my mahalich. Sometimes the most important thing to know is what the Gemara itself says. Okay? If you know the Gemara, sometimes that can, especially the deeper you get into the Rishonim and the Achronim, sometimes that can provide one the balance which is needed to say, wait a second, does that really make sense? What did the Gemara itself say? Never, ever look past, you know, the Gemara. That's where it all begins. Okay, so let's take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch and the Minchas Chinuch and the Kometz HaMincha. Now that we've mastered the Gemara in Sanhedrin with Rashi and Tosfos, and so we'll see what each contribute to the discussion. Itan Bok. So that expression is really loaded. Via lanu yecholas lahatzilo b'shum tzad. So he's like very motivated by Rashi there, right? Like lachzor al kol hatzdadin, right? Lahatzilo b'shum tzad. Like I've tried to really emphasize Rashi's importance in the sugya in general. Via lanu yecholas, again, that like takes us back to the first Rashi. If you have the ability, but b'shum tzad, okay? V'aminan b'sanhedrin, this is the Gemara, obviously. Dimechayev, right? So certainly not just yourself, right? That was the Hashivo solo. Ella. Right, but you have to go beyond just what you could do yourself to activate people, even if you have to spend money on it, to hire people. All of it is required. Kvalu Rabosenu Be'azharazo, Lo Samadal Damriyacho, also includes Shalom. Here's an interesting application beyond this, which is to dinei mamonos, that if you have eidos that could help somebody out financially, that too is midin lo samar al dam reyacha. Very interesting bridge between mamonos and the fasha. So v'chein rabbi sifra. Okay, very good. So again, back to our Gemara, Tovea ben Nahar and Rodef Achar Chavero Lohargo, Shata Chayv Latzilo, Shene Amar Lo Samod. So the Sefer HaChinuch does rehabilitate that, right? He says Lo Samod in the end applies to that situation as well, even though the Gemara had pivoted away from that and gone to Vein Moshi Allah. Sort of like Tosa said, right, the Aseh in conjunction with the Lo Saseh. Okay, so here comes the major discussion. The Minchas Chinuch was reading through the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says the following. So, I know the Kesef Mishnah, maybe B'Shem Hagos Maimunius. Okay. So this is based on the Yerushalmi, as we'll see. So on the basis of the Yerushalmi, there's a psak, the Hagos Maimunius, Rishonei Ashkenaz, that there's a Chiyuv to incur a suffix sakana to yourself. Emmanuel would have to put himself not in certain lethal danger, but in possible lethal danger to save Avishai. Okay? That's the Hagos Maimunios, and it's quoted by the Kesef Mishnah, by Rav Yosef Karo. Okay?
Jordan, Ryan.
And what's the Svara? Oh. So let's just explore that for a second. So what's the Svara, Eitan? How can we justify such a...
that your sakana would only be a suffix, but he's in definite danger.
Right, he's going to die. We assume that if we don't intervene, b'derech hateva, he will drown, the bear will maul him, the ox will gore him, and he's going to die. Bidera chateva. You, on the other hand, it's only a safik. Which, by the way, obviously would imply that if it was vaday, if it was suicidal, there would be no chiyuv. Maybe it would be aser. Likely it would be aser. Okay, that's a different issue. So the Kesef Mishnah assumes that the halach on the Yerushalmi is predicated off of, safik motzi midei vaday. Okay, so just one more line before we switch locations. Bisma, right? The Sefer Miras Einayim, as we'll see. So why did the Mechaber not include it, even though it was noted by the Kesef Mishnah? Okay, and Hishmita Mechaber Gamkein. Okay, very conventional wisdom that, the Shulchan Aruch really doesn't paskin like this Yerushalmi. Like the Sma says, the Rosh Tzur from the Rambam omitted it. But like I said, he's really not satisfied with that. He wants to eviscerate the Yerushalmi per se. So we'll see. And like I said, with respect to point number one, that is the conventional wisdom. That's what the Sma says. I have my doubts, which I'll try to explain, in terms of, what the Bavli tells us and how it sheds light on this Yerushalmi. But okay, so this, he says, Eitan Ludidi Guf Din HaGemara Tzarachiyun, right? So very well done. So basically, Minchas Chinuch says like this. He says, we should all be able to agree in the basic parameters, based on the Sugyos of Yaharik Val Yavor and what Tosa says over there, so that you can't really tell me or try to convince me that a person has to, compromise their own life and their own well-being, you know, in an active way for somebody else. So, right, that famous case that we all, like, you know, learn, you know, at some point in middle school or whatever, you know, that the guy puts a gun to your head and says, you know, go kill Dexter or else, you know, I'm going to take you out. So, you know, who said that, you know, your blood is any redder than Dexter's? But if he wants to use you as a human cannibal and, like, you know, drop you on Dexter from a sixth story, you know, you just have to be totally passive, right? That's like Tosso says. So the whole point is that, you know, when it comes to protecting your own life, you have the absolute right to be passive. So the Minchas Chinuch is saying, so Mehecha Tesi, the Yerushalmi, that you have to be Machnes, Esasmecha, Besavik Sakana, Kedei Lahatzil, you know, Es Chavero. Isn't it true that Pikuach Nevesh is Docha Es Kol HaTorah Kula? So this is just the law, right? The law would be Lo Samet Al Dam Re'acha. So saving your life should be more important than that. And even if it's Safek Pikuach Nefesh. So if it's Safek, saving your own life, versus letting this guy die, doesn't Safek Pikuach Nefesh Docha Alosa say? Lo Samet Al Dam Re'acha? Even if it were like the case of... And the Minchas Chinuch is making the argument in a very clever way, because he's saying, look, there are exceptions to that. What are the three famous exceptions to Pikuach Nefesh Docha Es Kol HaTorah Kula? Right, Shvichas Damim is one of them. So you'd say, oh, maybe this is like Shvichas Damim because it's Abizrayu, and the Rambam will tell you, we'll see it, that Lo Samet Al Dam Re'acha is really like Midin Shvichas Damim. You're not the one pulling the trigger, but you know, you're allowing the guy to die. But okay, even when it's Shvichas Damim outright, you're allowed to remain passive, right? You could allow yourself to be a human cannonball to be dropped on Dexter. So if you could be a human cannonball to be dropped on Dexter passively, right, so then who's to say that you're mechuyev to go into a suffix sakana to save him? Okay, so that's what he wants to say so far, right? Avalim rotzim lapilo chaverim tzarech lemzor atzma d'adero adoma dama didei sumak tvei. Maybe your blood is redder, so why does, you know, Dexter's life come before yours? Imkin who adin b'suffix sakana gam kin in tzarech lemzor atzma ohechid lo aben ma'isa. As long as you're passive. Okay, fine. So the ayin simon kufnan zayin, yoredeya. Right. In this case, not that makes a difference, but just, you know, dinze. Yeah, you're right. It makes a difference.
Dinze, maybe b'shem yerushalmi tzrikin anu l'kabo ve'ema. Mikoma kom l'maset tzarek iyon. Dinze v'nirali de'im de...
Alkein.
Alkein.
Right, exactly. The Sfir Lo Kain, they didn't accept this Yerushalmi because it ran up with what we knew from the Bavli, and it was just the irreconcilable conflict. Yeah, Micah.
So Menchus Chinuch is saying that there's something sakana. So even in the case of Sfir Lo Kain, if you're in the so in something sakana, even in a normal sakana, you're allowed to be. All you're allowed to do is be passive. So he's going to say that not only that, the suffix are kind of so very passive. It's like much the big step.
Well, his argument is the following. He says, really, what we have to assume is the case is that the Torah allows you to preserve your life passively. That's what emerges in the Sugya of Yahar Yigal Yavor. Right, you can spare your own life passively. They're going to use you as a human cannonball, right? So, but if you're totally passive, if you're not contributing anything to that, so passively, you're allowed to allow yourself to be used as an agent even for the destruction of another human life because you didn't initiate it. That's the permission structure. So he says it's clear on that basis that chayecha kodmin, that your life takes priority, even in a situation where the other person's life will vadai be in danger. Not only that, but you're going to be the agent of that destruction, the human cannibal, as I call it. So he says, if that's true, it's very hard for him to accept the Yerushalmi's equation, because Yerushalmi is suggesting that a person has to put themselves in lethal danger to try to save somebody else. Right, the case of the other person is a vadai, and you would be a suffix. So just doesn't that contravene what the Bavli is telling us, that a person is allowed to prioritize their own life just by acting passively? Right? So I don't have to resist if they want to use me as a human cannibal. I can allow my... And that's like, again, I'm not just going to be... I'm being passive in a certain sense, but they will be using my body weight to crush this other guy. It's a little bit apples and oranges, because in this case, we assume that the guy is certainly going to die from the impact of your being dropped on him. But you're doing it to save your own life. So again, I agree with you. I think there are differences between the cases that I want to get to. Your question is very well taken, but I'm just trying to put the best version of his argument forward. He thinks that passivity should be enough to overcome any issues associated with taking the life of a friend. And if anything, you could say it's a slight kal vachomer, because if you could be a human cannonball, so just standing on the side of the road, so that's, you know, that's okay. Yeah, yes.
According to the Milchos Sinai, does that mean that like there are actually in reality only like a few cases where they're actually obligated on the low time? Because most cases where there's a suffix on someone, there's gonna be a suffix on you also trying to save them. No?
Okay. So you got I feel very strongly about that. And that's why, you know, when we get back to the first part of the Minchas Chinuch, this assumption that this is only a Yerushalmi and it's not a Bavli also. I have, and again, that is the conventional wisdom. That's what the Sma says. He says, oh, the Rambam omits this, and the Rif omits this, and the Rush omits this, and we don't find anything like this in the Bavli. So, Yasi, we're going to come back to your thought, because I tend to agree with you. I think that if you, that's what I was alluding to when I said before, if you read the Gemara carefully, you find it very hard to believe that the Bavli isn't implicitly endorsing the same basic halacha as the Yerushalmi. In the cases of Tovea bin Nahar, in the case of Chaya Gorarto, certainly list in Bain Alav. And so I am fully in agreement with you. Then, what the two of us will have to then do is get back to Micah's question. Right? Because if that's really true, how is it that you're allowed to be a human cannonball? Right? Is that compatible? Or is that just, you know, that position of the Bali Hatosos? That's what the Bali Hatosos very famously say. So you can be passive and allow yourself to be thrown, you know, lo aleinu, onto a small child to lead to his certain death, etc. You're allowed to do that to save your own life, so maybe these are incompatible positions in the Rishonim. I'm not convinced of that, I'm just saying. Okay, so Yossi, what you're saying is, in a way, it steals my thunder, but in a deeper way, it makes me very happy. Because I'm glad that you didn't miss that point, that this is a very basic point in terms of the Bavli and the case the fact patterns themselves. So really very well done. I saw hands. No? Okay. So the Minchas Chinuch, you know, after eviscerating the Yerushalmi, says, what? We have to be mekabel at Be'ema, V'yira, and says, like, you know, I guess we'd have to observe it, but really wouldn't make too much sense, because we don't see any indication that a person has to incur such danger to themselves, a suffix to themselves, if it's just b'shev al-tase. Why is that any different than allowing yourself to be a human cannonball? Okay, so the next makor is the Komet Semencha. Anybody remember what the Komet Semencha is? We saw it once before. It was a long time ago. What's that? Yes.
Also, but written separately or later.
Yeah, very good. Okay, excellent. Beautiful, Sariel. So the Briskers never published anything in their lifetime because they were super perfectionistic in it. One of the problems with publishing something is that, you know, you later on might, you know, be choser or find a mistake. You know, I don't care how many times you edit it, it's just possible. You know, that's the nature of life. They notoriously, right, Reb Chaim's Chidushim were published 18 years after he passed away by Reb Moshe and Reb Elvel. Right? He wasn't walking around like, you know, hawking Chidushim Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi Al Rambam on eBay. So the briskers have always been that way. People who are in briskers, so they say one of two things, like lo nisna Torah l'malachei asharis, you know, so all right, these things happen, or that's what the Mahadura Tinyana is for. That's why you have to get the second version. So do you have the second version a lot? The Tosus Rid, the Note Behuda. You know, there's different you know, styles out there. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal used to like to tell us a story where I don't remember who the third party was, and frankly, he may not even have identified him, but he was with the Rav, and they were sitting, if you know where the benches are, just next time you're there, you can think about this. So down the hill from YU towards the East River, there's a road called, there's Amsterdam Avenue, and then there's like Laurel Terrace, like if you go a little bit further, if anybody knows what I'm talking about. So there's the benches there. I wouldn't recommend sitting on those benches at night. This fellow said to the Rav, I imagine he's a pretty big Talmud Chacham if it's just the three of them, that he planned on burglarizing him to steal all of the Chidushei Torah so that they could be published for Klal Yisrael. And the Rav started laughing and saying, you know, you're right, but that's our family tradition. You know, we don't publish anything because of this, you know, concern that, you know, you'll have to be chozer on you know, these points. There's a, when Reb Chaim was interviewing to be Magid Shir in Valazhin, which he, the job that he got, he got up in front of the board and said a shir. And it was a beautiful mahalich and a completely, you know, massive chiddush. And then he sat down in the middle, like right as he was after delivering his chiddush, but he clearly wasn't done. And they said, like, what's going on? And he said, I just realized that my shir is wrong. And okay, we didn't. What are you referring to? He says, oh, it's Soser, something the Rambam says in the Perush HaMishnayos and Bechoros. And he wasn't willing to continue with the Mahalich. You know, certain people have very high levels of intellectual honesty, right? Most people would just say, all right, it's for the job, you know. But they probably wouldn't bring up the Perush HaMishnayos knowing that nobody in the room knew it. Second of all, even if they did say, okay, the Rambam Perush HaMishnayos, maybe he was Choser from that. But that wasn't Reb Chaim. So as a non-brisker, the Menchas Chinuch, right, so he published, but when he sent his manuscript of the Menchas Chinuch off to the galleys to be printed, there were a lot of things that he realized. So he wrote the Kometz HaMincha to serve as a supplement to the Menchas Chinuch. What's really good in our day and age of explosion of printing of Svarim is that they've made life a lot easier. Where in the most recent editions, I don't know if there's the most recent bit, but the classical three-volume black set of Minchas Chinuch that I'm sure you've seen, so that has, you know, they do the work for you. They basically will the Kometz HaMincha is put in the right place, and they just note on the side, Kometz HaMincha. So you could literally learn it without even realizing that it came later, but it's actually something that's important to know that when you're looking at it, so you can understand exactly what's happening. Okay, so Eitan, let's take a look here at the Kometz HaMincha. That's what he means, Kasavti, right? The first, in the Minchas Chinuch, this is what I wrote. Here li Talmidi. You got it. Chelek. Good. Simen. Can kasa beferosh. Right. So what the Talmidim of the Menchas Chinuch of Babad showed him that you know, basically a late Rishon, early Achron, the Radvaz, right, said beferish what he said to be docha the Yerushalmi. Right, so he said, and I was really happy. And my Talmud showed me this, and I said, "This is vas ichav alamol gezakt." That's what I've been saying the whole time, right? So, you know, it's kind of, you can imagine the scene that this Rebbe, I was reading the Tshuvos HaRadvaz. He says exactly the same thing, right? That he doesn't understand this Yerushalmi at all. How in the world could you say that a person is mechuyev achas satzmo besafek sakana? The Bavli doesn't have it, and the Rambam doesn't have it, and the Rosh doesn't have it, and the Rif doesn't have it, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have it, because it goes against everything we know. Pikuach nefesh is doches kol haTorah kula, even safek pikuach nefesh. So chayecha kodmin. Why in the world would you have to take a safek on yourself to save somebody else? You can even allow yourself to be the object of somebody's death as long as it's passive, right? To Micah's point, b'sheva al taseh. So what's this whole thing about, right? So I was happy about that. Ach mikol makom. Right. So you can see, you can really appreciate the godless of the Minchas Chinuch. Right. So he writes, he says, well, but still, like, it's very nice that now I have a Rishon supporting me, and I felt good about that. Right, he went home that day and he told his wife, you know, Talmud showed me the Radvaz. It's what I've been saying in Shir this whole time. But he says, before I go and spike the football, like, just because I have a Rishon on my side doesn't mean that I could just ignore a Yerushalmi. It's Yerushalmi. And Tema on the Radvaz that, you know, he doesn't deal with the Yerushalmi. He should deal with the Yerushalmi. Don't just tell me that, you know, it makes no sense for a person to sakana. Tell me, you know, how you interpret the Yerushalmi. Machlokas b'av the Yerushalmi. So he feels like the Radvaz, you know, kind of let us down. Right? That's what he wants to say. So he still really wants to understand exactly, you know, what the basis of this Yerushalmi will be, and we'll take a look, you know, inside so that we could develop, you know, a better appreciation. It's interesting, in the Hemshech of the passage, it's very humbling. The Minchas Chinuch goes on to say, he says, I would do the work myself, but the problem is I don't have a Yerushalmi right now. He didn't have access to it. Kind of, you know, it gives you a lot of, it's a humbling thing. With money that I got for my bar mitzvah, I was able to purchase for myself the Yerushalmi that I still have, you know, in high school. 4-volume Yerushalmi. Nothing fancy. Not like I'm sure the Yerushalmis they sell today, with God knows what, you know. But Yerushalmi. Pnei Moshe, Karban Hoeda, a few others. I deserve a Yerushalmi. The Minchas Chinuch doesn't deserve a Yerushalmi. He didn't have a Yerushalmi. What he would have done for a Yerushalmi, he would have given the man a Yerushalmi, you know, he would have, like, stayed up all night resolving this issue and 1,000 others, you know. But they didn't have it. That was a different time. Okay. So, the Rashi we know very well, of Chazor al Kol Atzadin, Shlo Yova Adam Reyacha, but I want to show a few just other approaches. Because obviously we're going to have to circle back to this massive, massive issue. I'll also just, you know, tell you right now, that as a spoiler alert, that the Radvaz is much more complicated than that Talmud made it out to be, the Minchas Chinuch, okay? The Radvaz has many, many, many nuances in his approach. Okay, so let's take a look at the Malbim and then the Ramban, because I think that these are also very critical perspectives. So, Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha. Right, so the Malbim really is building off of Rashi's approach. It says, right? Lo samo, don't be idle. V'yatmin yado b'tzalachas. Anybody ever seen this expression before? It's actually an idiom in modern Hebrew. Like even secular Israelis will say this. So latmin yado b'tzalachas means literally to stick your hand into the jar. Like that's lochas haman. It means to, like, to, we would say in English, to twiddle your thumbs. To be a thumb twiddler. In Yiddish, the expression for this is a leidegeir. Lazy. So somebody who is twiddling their thumbs while other people are in, or another person, other people are in danger, is mechuyav. So what does it then require? What's the inverse? Rak yasek kol hishtadlos latzilo. Like Rashi, chazar al kol tzadin, you have to do everything in your power. And again, I would emphasize, it doesn't seem to me like there's any tenai that's being established that you know that you can. It would seem to me almost, yes, we're going to try to deploy this to our benefit later on, in terms of the mahalich that we want to develop here together. But the Malbim seems to amplify Rashi's perspective that lo samar al dam reyacha is much more about the talich, the process, than the totzah. If you did everything that you could and the man dies, you wouldn't violate. If you did nothing and the man survives, you did violate. Because you had no way of knowing. Right? Okay. So the Ramban also has a chiddush, and then I'd like to get to a point that the Ran makes, which is apropos our discussion as well, and hopefully we can at least get through that. So, Eitan, let's take a look at the Ramban. And his massive chiddush, albeit a brief one, and then the Ran. Okay, so just as a general matter, the Ramban, right, is always, you know, in Sefer Tvarim, as we know, trying to figure out Ho'il Moshe Be'er Esat Torah Hazos Lemor, what's new material? And what's an expansion of previous material? So, Pasuk says in Parashas Kisetze that if you have a slanted roof, right, that you have a chiyav deraisa, asisa makel lagagecha, and there's an issa deraisa lo sasim damim beisacha ki yipol hanofel mimenu. So you'd violate a mitzvah saseh in a lav if you didn't put up a fence. And of course, it doesn't only apply to a house, it applies to a swimming pool if a person owns a firearm, not to keep it under, you know, a very, you know, powerful lock system. If you have children, Rachman al-Itzlan, there was a case when we were on break of a six-year-old who shot his teacher, took his parents' gun to school. You know, it's very complicated. What does a six-year-old really understand? But, you know, that's an Isser Daraisa of V'lo Sasim Damim Beisacha. You have to, you know, create safe environments. That's basically the idea. The Gemara talks about not owning a kelev ra, dangerous animal, or a sulam ra'ua, a creaky, shaky ladder, are also part of this discussion. So the Ramban says, it's either a mitzvah mechudeshes, maybe it didn't come up anywhere in the Torah, or it's a mitzvah mivu'eres, it's a hezber, it's an expansion of something from Sefer Vayikra, Perak Yotes, namely Lo Samod Al Dam Reacha. So Shimon Ross, older brother of T. Ross, what does that mean? In that one line, sometimes we can only catch a glimpse of the Ramban's intellect, and it's overwhelming. So in that one line, what is the Ramban suggesting? There's a massive chiddush here, lehalacha, in terms of what the Ramban is doing with Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha. So, oh, maybe this is part of Lo Samar Al Dam Reacha, but it's a biur, it's a herchev. It's taking it half a step further. Yeah, Shema, go ahead.
The law of Lo Samar is more of just a general category, and within it, he gives the example of Makkah, and like that would...
Well, right, the Torah says, you know...
Yeah. But also we had with, like, right, for the price of the animal and the drowning, whatever,
and the throated case is like a lot more that fits into that definition.
Okay, good. But conceptually speaking, what ground is Ramban breaking? Ariel?
You should not only be trying to save the person when he actually gets hurt or falls in the water or whatever. You should be trying to prevent the thing from happening to the person.
Beautiful. So the Ramban thought that it's possible that Lo Samad Al Dam Riacha isn't only reactive, but it's proactive. That what the Pasuk came in Devarim to tell you was that Lo Samad Al Dam Riacha, once you can join it with Lo Sasan Damim Veisecha, is don't wait for the guy to fall into your pool. But you have a chiyuv to save him even before he was in danger. Prevention is always better than the cure. Of course, if he fell in, you'd have to try to save him anyway, but better to prevent. This is something that I think is really a fascinating idea, that we have a responsibility to create an environment, a society, where there's, you know, some degree of safety that cherishes and protects human life. That's the idea. Of Lo Sasim Damim Veisecha, but the Ramban wants to say maybe we can even find that within Lo Samad Al Dam Riacha. Maybe this is now the Torah's expansion of that idea. I think that's a very beautiful, and Ariel, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what the Ramban meant, that he had this expansive notion of a proactive Lo Samad Al Dam Riacha. So there's the idea of Chazor Al Kol Atzadin. Rashi says that once you see the guy, you know, is in danger, you have to turn over every stone. But the best way of doing that is not to wait for the guy to be in danger, is to create societies that have, you know, preventive measures, you know, speed limits and seat belts and, you know, fences around pools and you know, guardrails and the like. There are so many different ways, you know, of doing that. Okay, so that's, I think, an important he'ara. Of the Ramban. The Ran, I at least wanted to get this in, the Ran says something which I think is really, really critical to some of the diyukim that we tried to make in the Gemara and in Rashi. Okay, so Eitan, go ahead. So Vim Tomar. So whose question was that originally? That isn't the Ran's original question, though I'm sure he would have been able to think of it independently, but who asked precisely that question? Tosfos, right? That's Tosfos's, why do I need a pasuk? Isn't it a kal v'chomer? And remember Tosfos said, don't tell me that, oh, it's not a kal v'chomer because that's only about preventing somebody from doing an aveira. If you have to kill somebody, right, to save somebody's life, I'm pretty sure you'd have to get wet to save somebody's life or tell Sparky to stop chewing off that man's head, you know, or whatever the case is, if you could stop them. So it's basically the same question as the Balei HaTosfos, but, right, the Balei HaTosfos answered and said, okay, so there's an asay and a lav, labriut, which is no small thing. But the Ran has a different idea. So Yesh Lomar. So the Ran answers in a very different direction than Tosos. It's a very, very conceptual distinction. He says, ah. If I only had the sugya of Rodef, Tzaka Nara HaMoshia La, Tzaka HaNara HaMe'ora Sa Ve'in Moshia La, that we have to endeavor to effectuate a Yeshua on behalf of this Na'ara Me'ura Sa, So I would have assumed, Eitan, that that only applies to?
You're not going to be
touching. Well, not so much anything about you, but a situation where it was Barur Keshemesh, that... Right. That would only establish an obligation to involve oneself in a situation where there was avadai sakana. Harodev acher chaver lahargo. It seems pretty clear that this is a lethal situation. How do we know? Because he's chasing after him, screaming at the top of his lungs, holding a knife, saying, "I'm going to kill you." Right? So it's a reasonable induction in that situation, saying, "Oh, it looks like he doesn't want to hug him, wants to kill him." Right? Or, you know, the guy's chasing him with a gun, you know, and saying, you know, "I'm going to shoot you." So, you know, in that situation, you would assume that there's lethal danger then. That's what the Ran thinks. But, right, how do we know that there's actually an obligation to activate yourself even if you're not assured that the person's going to die? Maybe it's only a suffix they're going to die. Maybe they'll just end up maimed. Right? Maybe Sparky will only, instead of, you know, biting off their head, maybe he'll only bite off their ears and render their left arm unusable. So how do I know that I have to do anything in that situation? Or maybe the List and Haboin Alav aren't going to shoot him in the head. They're only going to sever his spinal cord so he'll never walk again. So do I really have to get involved? So that's the Chiddush of the Ran. Aval safek lo shaminan. Mishum hachi asakrad lo samar al damriach alomar shehu mitzuva litroach bo af ala safek. Wow. So you can't hide behind, and sorry, I'll get to you in a second, I want to give you the last word. So you can't hide behind this idea, well, I didn't know he was going to die. I thought worst thing that those, you know, highwaymen would do to him was to, you know, maim him, beat him up, whatever it is. You don't have that excuse, the Ran thinks. Oh. So I wanted to tie this Ran back into our diuk. I was suggesting, Lashitas Rashi, that part of Lo Samar al Dam Reacha is that you have no idea how this is going to play out. So I was saying, Lashitas Rashi, maybe you're misupak as to whether you really can save him. All you could do is chazar al kolat stadin. Or as like the Malbim says, lasos kola ishtadlos. Just like do everything you can. Are you going to be successful? Who knows? It seems like the Ran was picking up on something very similar, the parallel idea, but exactly in the opposite direction. The lo samad also means you don't know for sure that he's going to die, but it looks bad. And you could have never derived that from Rodef because Rodef is Vadai, real Vadai Misa. And he's chasing. The fact pattern is so dangerous. Right? He's chasing him with a meat cleaver, with a, you know, sawed-off shotgun, and screaming, "I'm going to kill you." Right? So that's not a suffix. That's already a Vadai if you don't do anything. So I think the Ran put his finger on like really, really critical issue. That Lo Samad al Dam Reacha seems to, by its very nature, lend itself towards Safek, but in both directions. We're saying Lashitas Rashi, a Safek as to whether you could do anything, but you're still Mechuyav, Lachzer al Kolat Stadin, Lachzer al Kol Ishtadlus. The Ran is saying Lo Samad al Dam Reacha means that you don't know that the guy is going to die, but it seems like it could happen. That's what Lo Samad al Dam Reacha comes to tell you. The case of Rodef, those fact patterns seem to be only B'toras Vadai. Okay, that's it. You don't have to agree with that, but that's the Ran's assessment. Okay, so we're left with the question, and then we'll turn things over to Sariel. I want to make sure to leave enough time. Again, the Minchas Chinuch thinks two things. And he validates in the comments of Mincha. Number one, he thinks the Yerushalmi is bizarre. How in the world could you justify a chiyuv? Maybe you have a choice, but a chiyuv l'hachas atzmo b'savik sakana, right? Bishvil chavero shebevadai sakana. And he also thinks whatever you make of that Yerushalmi, it's against the Bavli. Yossi isn't so sure, And that's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't have it, because since it's against the Bavli, it doesn't appear in the Rambam, the Rib, and the Rash. Okay, sorry, go ahead. I wanted to get you in. I said it?